Next church, looking at the next church that Jesus commended, the church at Thyatira. Church at Thyatira. I've been blessed to go back and read over my notes from 11 years ago in preparation for these. We're not preaching all the things that we could preach out of these. I really just wanted to focus on, felt like the Lord wanted us to focus on the commendations, the things that Jesus commended these churches for. Maybe I could even say that He praised them for. None of them were perfect, just like we ain't perfect. But yet I appreciate the Lord finding something to try to encourage them with and to try to edify them. And so we come to the church at Thyatira. If you look in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says this, "None of the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works." Now, that's a curious verse so far. And then he says, "And the last to be more than the first." What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. And he goes on to say, verse 20, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." And if you remember, that was the doctrine that Balaam taught. And the Bible goes on to say, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." You'll also just note as we go through here, this fornication is not physical fornication, this is spiritual fornication. 22, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children." Boy, this ain't the Jesus that the world talks about, is it? "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray tonight and ask God to help us. Father, thank you for a beautiful day. Lord, the weather is just so nice. And Lord, we're so glad to see that wintertime season go. It seemed like it held on so long. And Lord, we're encouraged with the prospect of spring and warmer weather, Lord, and longer days. And we just pray that you'll help us, Lord, to use this time that you've given us. Help us to redeem the time. The days are certainly evil. I pray that we'll number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I pray you'll help us tonight. As we learn about this commendation that you gave to Thyatira, Lord, may it be true about Spring City Baptist Church. I pray we'll mix the preaching with faith tonight, that it might be profitable and effectual. Help us, Lord, to lay aside all the cares of life, Lord, all the thoughts, all the things of our heart that got to happen tomorrow or tonight or whenever it might be. Lord, worries and burdens and things that would steal away our attention, help us to lay them all aside and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your word would be given out tonight to each heart, divided severally as you will, Lord, and that your saints will be helped. Lord, I pray you'll help me tonight to speak with charity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. How many of you got a bulletin? If you got a bulletin, if you look at that front picture, that is modern day Thyatira. It's the modern day city in Turkey of Akhisar, Akhisar, Akhisar. And they've got a little center there. If you look on Google Earth, you can see a little center where there was a Roman cathedral and all that kind of stuff. This obviously was all under Roman rule back then. And that's why you've got the reference to Jezebel and the spiritual fornication and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, this city here it still exists today. unlike some of the others. And it's interesting, when Jesus tells Smyrna, he says, be faithful unto death. And it's like they're not going to exist very long. But at Thyatira, he says, hold fast till I come. You know, it's been almost 2,000 years since he told them that. I wonder if there's any believers in this city today. Man, that Project Thessalonica that we were part of, that just so resonated with my heart to try to reestablish a church in the city where Paul wrote two letters back to the saints that were there. And I love that. Fantastic thought. I know Turkey's a Muslim country. It'd be hard to get in there and do something like that. But I just wonder, are there any believers still there? This city is 20 miles southeast of Pergamos. So you've gone far west side of southeast Turkey today. It's backwards for you. Far west side, you've got Ephesus, and you go to Smyrna, and you go to Pergamos, and you come back to Thyatira. I think I did that right. Anyway, it's located on the Lycus River. It was a prosperous, and still is today, trade city. And back during biblical days, when this church would have existed there, they specialized in textiles. And they specialized in fabric dyes. They were known for a shade. They call it purple or red, but it was called Turkish red. And that's what they were famous for. And they were a very, like I said, very opulent city, very rich city. And if you'll come with me to Acts 16, this gives you an idea, sort of roots it in the history of the church. And I think this kind of stuff is just fascinating. And again, God doesn't put anything in the Bible by accident. Amen? It's all here for a reason. And so Paul, you remember Paul wanted to go into Asia to preach the gospel. He wanted to go over and tell the communist Chinese how to get saved. And God wouldn't let him. And Paul's praying, and he sees in a vision a man of Macedonia, that's in Greece, and that man says, come over and help us. And so Paul deems that the Holy Spirit has directed them into Europe, southern Europe. And so they go and they come into Greece, and they come to a city called Philippi. And at Philippi, they go out by the river out there one day, and there's some ladies out there having a Bible study, having a prayer meeting. The Bible says in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. I think that's fascinating. What has caught my attention with that, and the Bible says that she worshiped God. She's just doing the best she knows how. Amen. She never heard of Jesus, as far as we know. She worshiped God. And the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, well, she doesn't get baptized with Paul unless she gets born again. And when she was baptized, the Bible says, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So Lydia, you know, she's a merchant woman. Right? And she learned how to dye those textiles purple in Thyatira, where she's from. And it sounds like she's got a house in Philippi, but I'll bet you if Lydia is of any age where she still has family left, maybe a mom, a dad, something like that, I wonder, I'm not saying this happened, but I wonder if Lydia was responsible for getting the gospel to Thyatira. Maybe she went back and preached Jesus and taught Jesus and, you know, who knows? I'm not going to draw a whole message on that tonight, but that gives you the context of this city. And that's pretty special. A lady from that city is the first European convert in Paul's missionary journey. And so nonetheless, if you'll remember that Ephesus, as we studied Ephesus, they were the promiscuous church. They left their first love. Smyrna was the persecuted church. Pergamos, the polluted church. Thyatira, then, is the passive church. And I think as we see these go, again, church, remember that all these seven churches existed at one time, and they were all groups and bodies of believers, just like Spring City Baptist Church is, and yet 20 miles away, 40 miles away, 30 miles away, things were totally different for these congregations. They were totally different for this body of believers. And yet, the way that the Lord Jesus Christ puts this together, we can very clearly see the different church ages laid out from the New Testament church beginning in AD 34 until here we are in 2026. And so if we look at it as a church age, we see that it's about 606 AD to 1517 AD. It's the longest church age. And it's the age that we would call, historically, we call the Dark Ages. This is when the Roman Catholic Church was the most oppressive on the face of the earth. And Rome is the one that's at hand in all of these, in terms of the persecution and the things and the pollution that goes on in these different churches. But nonetheless, the Dark Ages, this church age, is going to end on October 31st, 1517. That's a unique day, isn't it? And that's the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the Catholic Church door. And that thesis, but we wouldn't agree with everything in that thesis, but it does begin to question the Roman Pope authority. And that thesis begins to outline and underline the fact that men and women are justified by grace through faith, not by works. And he condemns infant baptism and all the practices of that Roman church. Martin Luther says that stuff's not in the Bible, essentially, is what he said. And he paid dearly for that with his life. But thank God he did it. And so that, nonetheless, that's sort of your historical range there. But nonetheless, if we go from Ephesus promiscuous, Smyrna persecuted, Pergamos polluted, when pollution gets in the church, there's only one of two ways that's going to go. Jesus told the church at Pergamos, he said, repent or else. And the or else was that Jesus was going to come and he was going to purge out that old, that nasty doctrine, that polluted doctrine that was in there. Well, if that doesn't happen, then pollution in a church leads to passivity. And that's what happened in Thyatira. The church became passive. And you'll see that if you look here in verse 20, he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now that word sufferest means to allow or to permit. And Jezebel, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that's one of the most wicked women to ever live. Right? And all the references in the Bible are all over there where she's Ahab's wife, except for this one. And here you start to see Jezebel and her spiritual fornication, her spiritual adultery. And when you turn over to Revelation chapter 17, if you'll do that with me very quickly, Revelation 17, you're going to see her judgment come forth. In Revelation 17, in verse 1, the Bible says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Right? A whore commits fornication and adultery, yes? Just to try to keep it as above board as we can tonight. That sitteth upon many waters. That many waters is a reference to many nations. You'll see that all throughout the Bible. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. How many rulers and leaders do you know in this world that are Roman Catholic? There's a bunch of them. And it goes on to say, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, all that mass killing of Jesus every time they do that. 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Well, what color is scarlet? That's red, like it's a deep red, isn't it? Kind of like the pews in here. And he goes on to say, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Sounds like what they're doing in Thyatira, doesn't it? And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Roman Catholic Church, one of the richest institutions on the face of the earth. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And he goes on down through there to talk about the judgment of this great whore of Babylon. And that's the reference that God is making, Jesus making in Revelation chapter 2 verse 20 when he calls her Jezebel. Okay. That ties all that together for you. all right. That gives you the background on Thyatira. That gives you an idea of what's going on there. Okay. And so now we come back to Revelation chapter 2, if you will, and look with me in verse 19. Revelation 2:19, the Bible says, Jesus speaking to the church in Thyatira, he says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Now, we've looked at a lot of these, and tonight I'm going to focus on charity, and I know that we've preached a lot on charity over the years. And the Lord, I just want to say publicly, the Lord has really helped my heart in studying charity. And I hope it's helped this church as I've preached about it in this church, about charity. And I want you to call to attention, out of the seven churches, the church in Thyatira is the only one that Jesus said was charitable. And yet you're going to find all throughout the Pauline epistles, Corinthians and Galatia and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Thessalonians and all those churches and Titus and Timothy, all those men exhorted to be charitable. And even today in 2026, Jesus Christ would like Spring City Baptist Church to be a charitable church. And I think I'm looking at people tonight that want to be known that way. We want to be a charitable church. Right? If you don't want to be a charitable church, there's the door. And that's, oh, it's uncharitable. No, it's not. I promise you it's not. Okay? We want to be a charitable church. And so, what you got to understand about charity, I'm going to sort of re-preach some of what we already know just in a little nutshell tonight so we all remember what God's talking about. But charity, when you study it out in the scriptures, charity is only shown between church members. Only shown between saved people. I know we have like organizations like the American Red Cross and some of the, what is it, the World Health, is that right? WHO? The World Health Organization. And some of those organizations that do humanitarian aid work, and we call them charities. But in the biblical sense of the word, that's not what they are. They're compassionate organizations. They're ministering to the needs of people on a physical level. The American Cross didn't start that way, but it's become that way. They're ministering to people on a physical level, and I think that's fine. There's no problem in that, but it would be more important to minister to people on a spiritual level. And that's what charity seeks to do. Charity may, in terms of the broadest definition of charity, it may require or involve taking somebody a meal. It may involve going to see somebody who's sick or laid up or whatever it is. But the idea of charity is that I'm going to go see them to be a blessing to them spiritually. And so all throughout the New Testament, when you see that word charity, it's always shown between saved people. You say, well, Pastor, what are we supposed to have to the lost people? We will have what Jesus had for them. We'll have compassion on them. But charity is always shown inside the church and to save people. What's interesting here is the Lord says that he knows their works twice. He starts out, I know thy works. And it goes through charity and service and faith and patience. And then he says, and thy works. And then he gives you a phrase at the end. He says, and the last to be more than the first. And I don't know about you, but I'd like the works that I'm doing toward the end of my life on this earth to be more for Jesus than what I did when I first got saved. I'd sure like to be drawing closer to God as we sang tonight, and for God to have my heart and for the works that I do to be profitable. Would you agree, at least tonight, that when he says the last to be more than the first, that means they're profitable works? That means they're fruitful works. That obviously means that they've grown somehow, some way, and Jesus has recognized that and he's commended them for it. And I really think in the first part of my ministry, I did a lot of things without charity for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll fully admit that publicly. And when I started studying this and the Lord started to help me with this, it changed my heart. It changed my perspective. It changed everything about why I do what I do. And there's sometimes, guys, that I don't feel like coming in this pulpit to preach. There's sometimes I don't feel like going to knock on a door. There's sometimes that I don't feel like sitting there holding that scripture sign. But charity produces the desire to go do those things. And when I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to be doing for God, I know it's time to get alone with Him and confess whatever sins He brings to mind and say, God, would You renew in me a right spirit, create a clean heart within me, Psalm 51:10, and God, give me the charity that I need to go do what I'm supposed to go do. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in here that feels that way from time to time. And so charity is the key. Can I say it this way? Charity is the key to making our service to the saints profitable. We have three services, don't we? We have the pinnacle, the utmost service is to the Savior, Jesus Christ. We're ministering to Him. Then we have a minister to the saints, ministry to the saints. And then we have a ministry to the sinner. And so the ministry of the saint, if we're going to make sure that that ministry is profitable, and boy, I want mine to be profitable, and I think you want yours to be profitable, then the key to it is charity. Charity is what makes that service, that ministry to the saints, profitable. Ephesus, you'll remember, was told to repent and do the first works because they left their first love. Thyatira's works grew, were profitable and fruitful, and Jesus said, I see your charity. Now I know a lot of preachers, and I'm not going to hammer on it tonight because I think it's just a waste of time. A lot of preachers are just going to immediately start calling charity love. And I'm not going to do that. And the reason you know charity is not love is, number one, they are spelled differently. Amen. Okay. But charity, the definition of charity does involve love. Okay, but it's the love, it's the people that love's directed to that's really important. The first person that we're to love when we're exercising charity is the Lord Jesus Christ. And charity is a desire, first and foremost, it is a desire to honor and magnify Jesus Christ. What follows that then is a desire to edify the church. That word edify means to build up, to strengthen, to promote, okay? And so when we exercise charity at Spring City Baptist Church, when the saints at Thyatira exercised charity, their heart desire was to exalt Jesus Christ and to edify the saints. And Jesus said, I appreciate that, okay? So come with me if you would. Come with me if you would. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll show you how charity makes service to the saints profitable. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll recall as you get there and we sort of get set up for this, you'll recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible lays out the judgment seat of Christ. And it says that our works, after we're saved, will be judged by fire. And they'll be judged, what's the standard of judgment? What's the distinguishment in there? As to what sort they are, okay? And I really believe, you know, we don't know exactly. We're making some inferences here with the rest of Scripture. But I think tonight what that's talking about is the works that we do after we're saved for Jesus. We can do them with one of two hearts. We can either do them with a heart of love toward Him, as we're talking about tonight, or we can do things for Jesus Christ with a heart of love for ourselves. It is possible in the ministry to do things in your local church that are ministry focused. It is entirely possible to do them with a selfish, carnal, fleshly motive. I don't know that nobody else here has been a pastor before, right? Listen, you step out of a life where you've sat in the pew your entire life. You work a secular 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday. And then all of a sudden, you step in the pulpit. And for me, I'll just give you the, for me tonight. One of the things I struggled with was stepping out of a secular life into a ministry life. And in the secular life, God had blessed me. I mean, playing sports in high school, God had blessed me. Going to college, God blessed me. Going to work in Charlottesville, God blessed me. I'm talking about in the secular world. And I give all the praise and honor and glory to Him. And so when I stepped out of the secular world into the ministry world, you know what I expected? I expected success. I expected this church just to grow and by leaps and bounds, and everybody that was mad to get right with God and come back to church and just, that's what I thought. Didn't quite happen that way. And I can remember, man, I got to a low point. I didn't know what to do. And I started reading a book. It's called The Preacher in Prayer. And I started reading that book, E.M. Bounds. And everything he talked about in that book, I was feeling. Frustration with preaching messages, just feeling like you're just dead in the water and the ministry's not going anywhere and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can't remember the exact phrase, but he got down there in one of those pastures and he said, if you're feeling all that, what you need is charity. And I thought, man, I got charity. And the Lord said, well, why don't you study that and let's see if you've got it. And I started studying charity and realizing that the motive behind a lot of what I was doing in my own personal life for Jesus wasn't right. And that my expectations weren't right. And there would be things that would happen and the Lord Jesus would say, well, do you love me? And I'd get frustrated about things and Jesus would just say, well, do you love me? I think it's why a lot of pastors leave churches and just travel around the different places, because there's just no charity. It's all about them. They're leaving, whether they would admit it or not, they're leaving because of a selfish motive, and they're going to go somewhere else and try to fulfill that selfish motive. And when it doesn't happen in 3, 5, 7 years, they're gone to the next place. And that's a really sad cycle to get into. It breaks our heart when that happens. But for us at Spring City, and for me as your pastor, if the ministry at this church to the saints is going to be profitable and effectual and flourish, we are all going to have to exhibit biblical charity one to another. And if we'll do that, I think when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ and those works come through there and Jesus' eyes burn them up, I think there'll be gold, silver, and precious stones left. And I don't know, again, I'm dreaming, Brother Gary, it may not be this way, but the Lord Jesus Christ may point at one and say, Brother Levi, that one right there is because of your charity. Well, I don't think it'll be that way. Fine, come up with your own idea. Okay? I think that one sounds pretty good. But nonetheless, the sort of works, are we doing it because we love Jesus? Or are we doing it for a selfish motive? And there is such, there is such a fine line in there. And every time that I step in this pulpit, every time I step on a parade float, every time that we have a fellowship meal or we do something with the church family, I got to check my motives just like you need to be checking your motives. Why are we doing this? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see how charity makes a Christian's work profitable. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, okay? The context of this chapter is spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit of God to the church of God, the body of Jesus Christ, saints that are born again like you and I. Okay, that's who he's talking to. He's not talking to lost people. And he's not talking to churchgoers who aren't saved. He's talking to saved, born-again believers like me and you who are a part of the body of Christ. And he says that there are spiritual gifts that are given to each member of the body. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, verse 2, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. We would all agree with that. Amen. 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same, capital S, Spirit. All right, so if you're saved tonight, say amen. Amen, good. You have, right now, the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And if you're saved tonight, He has gifted you with certain spiritual gifts. And it's all based on His wisdom and His knowledge and His will and His wanting to do so. Okay? And it goes on to say, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, right? So something's manifest is made seen, yes? Right? God was manifest in the flesh, and His name is Jesus Christ, okay? But the manifestation of the capital S Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So it's profitable to the member who's exhibiting the gift, and it's profitable to the body who is experiencing the gift that God has given to that member. Okay? Verse 8. For to one is given by the capital S Spirit the word of wisdom. I think my father-in-law has that gift. He's just a wise man. He doesn't get too excited about stuff. Unless it's Virginia losing. But Brother Rick is, he's a wise man. I enjoy talking to him. There are very rarely when we have questions, when we go visit them or they come here and I've got a question, don't expect a 3-word answer. Okay? You're going to get an in-depth answer, but I appreciate that. Okay, so some people in here have that. Okay, you God's given you His wisdom, and you have a demeanor about you that you can make wise decisions, and you analyze things, and all that's a spiritual gift from God. He goes on to say, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Some people are just able to understand this Bible. Some people are able to teach the Bible in a clear and concise and effectual way. Others would stammer all over themselves because they haven't been given that spiritual gift of teaching, you understand? He goes on to say, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Don't you wish you had that today? Brother Gary, we'd clean you out, number one. Then we'd go to the hospital and clean the hospitals out, amen? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Apostolic church times, right? They still had that ability back then. God gave it to them. Don't have that today. Had it then. Okay? Now, here we go. Keep reading. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Boy, some people just understand prophecy. They put that eschatology in order, amen? And it all fits and they understand it. And to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Well, some people just meet somebody for the first time and say, that person's wicked. I don't feel right around them. There's something not right about that person, Pastor. Hey, that would be okay to come to your pastor and say. To another divers kinds of tongues. And you know that's not the unknown gibberish that the charismatic movement portrays. You've been taught in here enough. I've taught you enough. You know that tongues are different languages known somewhere around the world. Whether it's Spanish or Greek or Hebrew or Russian or English. But boy, some people can just learn those languages. I mean, they just go to the mission field. They wouldn't have to study the language. They can just hear people talk. Pick it up. But you know, in these days, remember what happened on Pentecost, day of Pentecost? And the disciples are in that upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within them like Jesus said He was going to do. And the Bible says there were little cloven tongues of fire above their head. And the Bible said they all spake in tongues. And it wasn't their native language. It was in all these different languages. And the reason that happened is because there were so many different people there from all over the world. And Jesus immediately gave those men, the Holy Spirit did, power to speak in tongues and the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. And the Bible says that every man heard the gospel in his own language. And God did that to immediately begin to spread the gospel all around the world. It wasn't this charismatic gibberish that nobody knows what's being said. To some, the diverse kinds of tongues, and another, the interpretation of tongues. All right, so there's a smattering, right, of spiritual gifts. What's not mentioned here, but I think is obviously a spiritual gift, is a musical ability. And thank God He's gifted some people in this church with some musical abilities. It's a real blessing to the church. It edifies the church. It exalts Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for it. Okay? And so there they are. Okay? Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame, capital S, Spirit, dividing to every man severally, and the next three words are, as He will. And this is where the church has to guard her heart. Because you can be sitting there and see a spiritual gift in someone else, and because you didn't get that gift, become envious against them. And remember, envy is to hate another person based on their superiority or supposed superiority. And so as the church understands that everybody at Spring City Baptist Church has different gifts and different abilities, and the Holy Spirit's the one that gave those. And if we're all submitted to the Holy Spirit and we're endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity, then we all say, praise the Lord, that brother's got that gift, that sister's got that gift. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother, for using it to edify the church and exalt the Savior. That's the proper attitude. Now skip down with me, verse 27. The Bible says, now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Obviously not. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, 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 no. But the Bible says, and this is something that you and I can covet, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. I don't think there's anything wrong with a young man sitting in the pew listening to a seasoned preacher preach and saying, God, if you'd gift me like you've gifted that man, let me preach, I'd preach for you if you'd let me do it like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with a young lady sitting in the pew and watching a seasoned musician, a master musician play an instrument and sitting there praying, God, if you give me that ability, I'd use that for you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's coveting earnestly the best gifts. And so the Lord said, listen, it's okay for you to want spiritual gifts. And who knows, man, you might ask the Holy Spirit, He might give you one. Then you'd have to use it. But then He ends the chapter. And this phrase has always caught my attention. But I show unto you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way to have and to use spiritual gifts, chapter 12, is through chapter 13, charity. Because a man can have the spiritual gift of teaching, but if he doesn't use it with charity, what's Paul say he is in the first verse? Sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, right? Let's read that. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Boy, that'd be something. For a preacher or somebody to stand up and teach Sunday school, and then for the class to say, man, that guy sounded like an angel. That'd be some kind of talking, wouldn't it? But if a man can speak well and God's given him the spiritual gift of prophecy and of teaching, but he doesn't use charity in his heart to give out that spiritual gift, the Bible says, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just noise. just noise. Man, I wish I could go back first 4 or 5 years of my pastorate and redo it. I wish I've gone back and looked over those notes and listened to some of those messages. And I spoke the truth. I gave the church what the Bible said. But I can tell you tonight, I didn't always have charity in my heart doing it. Boy, I wish I'd go back. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And have not charity. Paul says, I am. Man, I know we've studied, my time's almost gone. We've studied all this in depth. I just want to read through this and let you see how futile it is to have these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit of God has given every one of us, and yet to not use them with charity. It's just a waste. It's just noise. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it what? What are we talking about? We're talking about our service being profitable tonight. It profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That is a foundational verse. Amen. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And you look down at verse 11. So we say it this way tonight. That's the character of charity. Okay, here's the maturity of charity. When I was a child, verse 11, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. What is a child? How would you describe a child naturally? They're selfish, aren't they? They're just consumed with themselves. It's all about me. As the Patch the Pirate song is. It's all about me. It's not about you. You know who sings that? Princess Vanessa. Some of y'all get... Y'all need to be listening to Patch the Pirate. I'm telling you what. All right. I'm challenging my girls to... I'll tell you this and we'll go on. I'm challenging my girls to write a new Patch the Pirate song. And it's kind of like... Y'all know the song of the Poochie Lip. The Poochie Lip will get you if you don't watch out. Some of y'all are just like, what are you, you've lost your mind, preacher. Well, man, you get 14 years of that stuff, it sticks with you. And it's pretty good, amen. The Poochie Lip will get you if you start to pout. Okay. So along the lines of that tune. Maybe it's not that tune. Anyway, I'm challenging them to write a song about being a busybody. Right? Because we have this tendency when we walk into a room and somebody's having a conversation and say, what's that? None of your business what that is. What'd you say? Wasn't said to you. What y'all doing? Not your business. Y'all need to write that, girls. That'd be really good. I know you do a great job with it. All right. Anyway, where was I? The maturity of charity. What's a child do? They're selfish. It's all about them. Okay. But the Bible says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And charity is the maturity of the saint. And charity is not consumed with self. Charity is consumed with Jesus, the Savior, and consume with the saints. And that's a charitable attitude. Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In other places in the New Testament, you'll see over in Peter, he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance kindness, and brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, I think it's charity. I might have missed one in there. But it's always mentioned as the pinnacle of those lists. And so we take the spiritual gifts, chapter 12, I got to hurry. And we filter those spiritual gifts through charity, chapter 13. And the end result then is Jesus is exalted, the Savior is exalted, and the saints are edified, chapter 14. Okay, so come with me, chapter 14, look at verse 4. The Bible says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." There's a childish thing, amen. "But he that prophesieth edifieth the church." Verse 5, "I would that ye all spake with tongues." And he's talking, not talking about gibberish again. He's talking about various languages. "I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive" what? And we've been through this. I'm not going to relay all this. But you know tonight, if we had a missionary come in here and speak to you in Russian and preach the whole message in Russian, it wouldn't help you one bit. It would sound like a bunch of confusion. But as Brother Scott said, if you've got an interrupter, a.k.a. an interpreter, then the man speaks in Russian, and another man that understands Russian interprets it to English, now you know what he said. And now you can say amen. Or now you can say, "Get out of town, you heretic." Okay? And that's the whole point of chapter 14. Apparently in Corinth, they had a problem with using their spiritual gifts for carnal reasons. Shocker, right? And the whole point of chapter 12, 13, and 14 is to get this church to start using their spiritual gifts to edify the church, not so people would say, "Boy, that guy's really impressive." Or, "Boy, that lady can really play the piano." Right? That's the importance of charity, is it makes that work profitable because we're exalting the Savior and we're edifying the saints. Okay? Verse 12. Says, "Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel." That's profit, right? That's being successful. "Excel to the edifying of the church." If everybody at Spring City will desire that and be zealous of excelling in edifying the church, this will be a very pleasant place to be. This will be known as a charitable church, and the Lord Jesus Christ will commend Spring City Baptist Church to the judgment seat. Verse 26 says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together?" So here's the problem at Corinth. "Every one of you hath a psalm, every hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." Can you imagine what that had been like? Mercy. He says, "Let all things be done unto..." All right. So, ma'am, if you want to sing that song in church, sing that song so that the church is edified and Jesus is exalted. Sir, you want to teach that Sunday school class? Teach that Sunday school class so that Jesus is exalted and the church is edified. Right? Young man, you take that missions offering up. Listen, guys, look, we're doing these things on purpose to train you in the ministry on how to do things with the right heart. You take that missions offering up, do it so Jesus gets exalted and the church gets edified. Everything that happens at this church needs to be done so that the Savior is exalted and the saints are edified. He goes on to say, verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one. That ain't the verse anyway. Probably verse 33 is where I was supposed to be. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of saints. I don't even think that's the right verse, but anyway. You get the gist tonight. Okay. We're familiar. I'll tell you these two places we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 8:1 tells us that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now this church has been given a lot of knowledge. Guys, you've been taught over the years how to rightly divide the word of truth. The men at this church have been able to go through institutional type training in the scriptures, and you know how to refute the heresies and the cults that are out there. And you know how to dispensate the Bible, amen, and do it rightly. You know how to take a Bible passage and teach it to the church or to a class, and to do so in a way that is informative, and that is they are able to grasp it and get some help from that, and praise the Lord for that. This church has been blessed. But we don't want to use those spiritual gifts without filtering them through a heart of charity, because charity makes that service profitable. Okay. And then 1 Corinthians 16. I got the privilege of preaching this a number of years ago down at Brother Jimmy Fortunato's church in Cookeville, Tennessee, Pilgrim Baptist Church. He had a Bible conference on charity, and Brother Tim Crotts was there. And I preached the first message. Brother Tim preached the last message of the conference. This was the first message that this is exactly the message I preached, that first message on filtering these gifts through. And Brother Tim got up, and as only a seasoned pastor could do, and man, we had both been through the ringer in the months prior to that. And I think the Lord put us there just to try to encourage each other and let us, you know, cry on one another's shoulder kind of thing. And it was really a blessing. And Brother Tim was really down. And he got up to preach this message. And as he preached this final message, I could just see the joy of preaching come back into his life. And it was so, I just sat there and just said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping my friend, being a blessing to him, giving him his joy back. And Brother Tim, he started at chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And he went through all those different problems that, and boy, they had a few, didn't they? And he said, you know the one thing, this was his whole message, he said, you know the one thing that would have solved every problem in Corinth? Charity. And that's how the book ends. Verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. It'll help Corinth. It'll help Spring City Baptist Church. It'll help every born-again group of Bible-believing members in America if we just have charity one to another. And what's amazing to me is this. In Thyatira, they were passive. They are allowing Jezebel to teach and seduce in the church. But when those people played the piano in Thyatira, they did it to exalt the Savior and to edify the saints. When they taught a Sunday school lesson in that church, they did it to exalt the Savior and to edify the saints. When they took that meal over to that new family that just had that baby, they did it to exalt the Savior and to edify the saints. When the crew that came in, the custodial crew came in after everybody was gone, they cleaned that building to exalt the Savior and edify the saints. You understand? And Jesus said, I see that. And he said, I appreciate that. And he said, I know your works. He said, I know your service. He said, I know your faith. And I know your patience. And he said, your latter works are more than the first. And the reason is because of their charity. And so may that be true about Spring City Baptist Church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank